Okay. What I'd like to try to do is Shiras Nazino. Okay, what the idea of Shiras Nazino is. Okay, because Shiras Nazino, the Torah sets up as a separate entity of great significance. Okay? Because the Pasuk says in Vayelach, Vayem Hashem Moshe, in Vayelach Lamed Aleph Tzayin, Vayem Hashem Moshe, Hincha Shochev Mavasecha, Vekom Ha'om Azev Vezon Acharei Elohei Necha Ha'aretz, Asher Vashom Alet Vekirbo, Vazavani Ve'eferes Brisi Asher Karati Ito. The next pasuk is v'charapi vo v'yamahu v'azavtim v'starti funai mehem v'yolecho. So God will remove His ashgacha from them, and they will be for consumption by the other nations. U'mitzau ros rabos v'tzaros v'omah b'yamahu alokin elikai b'kibi mitzuni aras ela. So they'll say that these evils occurred because the Hashgacha is not with them. All right. The Ramag, we went through Ramban one time. Here are Tshuva, the two stages. Vanochi hastar hastar panay bayam hoa kola ra asher asa. So then again there'll be hest upon him. Kifona el Elohim acherim. Okay. So the chet is avodah zara. The chet is avodah zara. Va'ata kisvu lechem es hashira azos. V'lamedos b'nei Yisrael simo b'fihem. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzav Moshe to write this shira. L'man t'yeli ha-shira zos l'eid b'fnei Yisrael. So this shira will be an aid, a testimony for Klal Yisrael. Okay, and Pasuk explains again. Ki avienu adomo sh'nishbat l'avosav zovas chol v'dvash v'ocha v'osav v'doshein. So first they'll inherit the land, but then ufana el Elohim acherim vavodum, again avodah zara v'ni atzuni v'hefer es brisi. And then again the pasuk says, v'hoyot ki simtzena oso ro'os rabos v'tzoros. When these terrible tzoros and evils before them, v'onso hashira azos l'fonav v'ayim. And what? It's not on? Okay. But then the pasuk comes back again in Lamed Aleph Chaf Aleph, V'hoye ki simtzena oso ro'os rabos v'tzoros, V'onso hashira azos l'fonav l'eid. And this shiro will testify before them as a witness. Ki lo shishochach mipizaro. Because it will not be forgotten. Ki yadati yesitzra asher ro'os ayom b'terem avyena olor shishen ishbati. And v'yichtov Moshe hashira azos bayamu v'yalamdos b'nei Yisrael. Okay. Then comes the shira. Then comes the shira. Parshas Hazino. Okay. Hakilo alayz kol ziknei shiftechem shadrechem v'adabar avazneim eis advarim elo v'idobam es hashamayim v'esaretz. Okay. Then comes the Shira. Now the question is, I mean, what is so special about the Shira that this is the aid? What is there special different in this Shira? So, I mean, that you don't have a Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, if you're going to say the reason is Kilos Yishochach Mipizaro, that it'll remain, so Kol HaTorah Kula remains. I mean, Rashi's Kilos Yishochach Mipizaro. Interesting. Rashi says that, Kilos Yishochach Mipizaro. Rashi says, Harezu Avtachal Yisrael, She'ein Torah Mishtakachas Mizaram Legamri. Legamri. Interesting. Rashi says, it always will somehow, in some form, exist. A lot will be lost, but it will not be lost totally, which means that there will always be enough of the Torah in existence for someone to come along, for people to see the mitzvah of the Torah. So a lot of things will happen, but there'll be enough of a substance of Torah will remain that they'll be able to know the Derech HaTorah and be able to uncover the ideas of Torah. That will never cease. That's what Rashi means, legamri. It won't be lost, legamri. A lot will be lost, but there will always be that basic nucleus, framework of Torah, so that it's always there, and it could always be retrieved. Okay. But what is the Shira Sazino? Let's get back to that question. What is the Shira Sazino? So there's a Ramban in the end of... interesting Ramban in the end of Hazino. Ramban says like this. Ramban, I believe, is trying to answer that question. So Ramban says like this. The last Ramban in Hazino. He says, Vehine, Hashira Hazos Asher Hibanu Le'ed Emes V'ne'emon Tagid Kol Hamotzo Sosono B'biur. It describes all the things that will occur to us clearly. And then he goes on. Hizkira t'chila ha-chesed sh'asamon ha-kadosh baruch hu me'oz sh'lakachnu l'chelko. So first it mentions the chesed that ha-kadosh baruch hu did for us from the beginning. Hizkira ha-tovos sh'asamon ha-midbar. Okay. The chesed ha-shem ha-midbar v'shechin chilono arzos ha-goyim ha-gdolim v'atzumim. And all the good and the osher and the kavod, the honor, v'chimerov kol hatova, mordu b'Hashem lavod avodah zarah. And from all these brachos, so they still rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they served the Avodah Zarah. Ramban says that in Hazinu, the essence of Hazinu is Avodah Zarah. Doesn't mention Avodah Chatayim. Okay. Now he says like this. V'hizkiru akas ashehoyom milfonav aleihem acheshalach bohem ba'artzom dever v'roah v'chayaroah v'cherev. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent all these plagues in their land, in Eretz Yisrael. V'achreichein, if that pozor osam b'chol ruach u'peya. He says, then he dispersed them in every corner and every direction. V'yadua, he says, and it's known, ki kol zeh niskayim, that all this was fulfilled. V'yihichein. And then he says, the end of the Shira says, Ki b'sof yashiv nakom letzora v'lemesanov yishalem. And in the end, God will repay his enemies. V'atam, this is an interesting point. We'll go, V'atam, ki heim asu kol haro simonu l'sin asa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the reason why they did all these evils is because they hate God. Ki lo yisnu es Yisrael ba'avur she'asu avodah zarah kohem. They didn't hate the Jews because they did Avodah Zarah like them. Because they served Avodah Zarah. Rak bavur shelo yasu k'maaseihem. That the reason why they hated them is because the Jews don't do like they do. V'yavdu as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Jews serve God. V'yishmeru as mitzvosov. And they keep his mitzvahs. Lo yischatnu b'hem. They don't intermarry. V'lo yovchu mizivcheihem. They don't eat their... They don't share their kabanos. V'yavozu avodah zarah shelohem, and they despise their avodah zarah. V'yavaru osomim kamosehem, and they uproot it from their places. L'chi'inyan shenema, like the pasuk says, ki alecha haragnu kol hayom, because of God we're killed every day. In Cain, if that's the case, he says, listen, because they hate God, that's why they do all these evils. V'heim tzorav u'masanov. Okay, so they're the ones that are sonei Hashem. V'olav li'nakeim ehem. And God will, and it's upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will take the comfort from them. V'zeh davar baro. Okay, that's one point. Okay. So the Ramban says that what's the source of the hatred for the Jew? So he says the source for the hatred for the Jew is because the Jew denies the Avodah Zarah. The Jew doesn't do like the Goyim do, and he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he keeps the mitzvahs. Okay. In other words, that the what? One second. Okay. In other words, what the Ramban is saying is that is the source of anti-Semitism. That's the source of hatred of the Jew. Because the Jew denies the Avodah Zarah. But there is one question that you have to ask. The question is like this. That when is the Jew Nenash? In other words, when you say the Jew is Nenash, we mean when the Goyim attack the Jews. Okay? The Jew is Nenash when the Jew serves the Avodah Zarah. Okay, and that's really in the Shira. That's really in the Shira. Okay, because in the Shira it says that first it talks about the Chesed Hashem, and then it says Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat Shemanto Avisa Kasisa Vayito Shaloak Aso Vayinabel Tzu Yeshuoso Yakinu Bizar Mesoivos Yachisu. Ramban says, Avodah Zarah. Yizbuchu, the Pas says, Yizbuchu la'ashedim lo aloha. Elohim le'idom. Chadoshim ikar bo, lo sarma bo sechem. Tzu yilod chateshi, v'atishkach kel machol lecha. Then vayar Hashem vayinos mikaz man of Anosov. Vayom astir fonai mehem. So that's when the Hestapunim took place. Ere mach risam, ki yidot hapucha seba, bonam le'em un bon. Heim kinuni... Heim kinuni velo el ki asuni bav leim vani akniim below on begoinov alachisay. So the time when the nenash through the goinoval, which is the goyim dumos olam, is when they serve avodah zarah. So that would seem to be a contradiction with what the Ramban says, because the Ramban says that the hatred of the Jew and the reason why they take their aggression out on the Jew is because the Jew serves Hashem. And in fact, throughout the Navi, that's the way it is. The Navi always Vayakta Labolim and the Lulasheros. The Navi always depicts how Klal Yisrael served the Avodah Zarah, and then the Onesh came upon them. The Golas Aseres Hashvatim, etc. All things. So the question is, that would seem to be the opposite of what the Ramban is saying. Okay, it works out just the opposite. Okay, that's my question. Okay. Anybody want to? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's an interesting thing. You could say that when the Jews serve Hashem, so they're not attacked, you could say that's Hashgachas Hashem, which no doubt is true. But the pasuk really does say that there's a natural thing to it also. Because the pasuk says, "Ro kol amei yaris k'shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yor mimecha." So that means that's a natural phenomenon. Okay, so it seems the Torah says the opposite way, that when they serve Hashem, so then it's v'yor mimecha. And the other way, when they're not serving Hashem, then they embrace the Torah. Then the goyim really attack them. Yeah. So what's your answer? The Nevi'im talk about how prevalent Avodah Zarah was. V'sachas kol eitz ranon. Is that, I mean, what? There's still Nevi'im around. It seems that they served Avodah Zarah on a very large scale. It wasn't a miut. It was quite a large amount of Klal Yisrael. I mean, with the Malachim, Malchei Yisrael, and the Aseres Hashvatim, I mean, certainly, most, it would seem. So why wasn't that a mitigating element in terms of the sin of the Umos Olam? Yes. Yeah, I think what the Ramban is saying here is something which has a psychological depth to it. You see, what the Ramban is saying is that the hatred for the Jew is not just a hatred that the Jew is different, you see. But the hatred for the Jew is a type of a fear which is not a normal fear or hatred. not a normal hatred. It's based on a very deep-rooted fear. Because, you see, Avodah Zorah is fantasy. And they're banking everything on this fantasy. Because this fantasy is their security. And the Jew represents a tremendous fear that this fantasy is just an illusion. You see? That kind of a fear is an insidious fear. It's not a normal fear. It's not a normal hatred. It's a hatred which is based on the fear of everything, their very essence, being uprooted and being shown to be stupid and idiotic and nonsensical, and their whole lives a total waste, and their whole protection nonsense, and their whole essence of existence is naught. That's really what the Torah, what the idea of what the true idea of God represents to the Umos Olam. See, so it's not a normal fear. You might say it's a kind of a pathological fear. You see. So that kind of a fear, you can't assuage. If the fear is a normal fear, so you fear something, when that something isn't there, the fear is gone. But where the fear is an insidious fear, that you are afraid to face yourself because this fear will undermine everything that you are, you see, then the mind works differently. And the mind can't even see the fear. Just the sense of the fear drives the mind into a frenzy. You see? That's the nature of the fear. So that's why, even though the Jews serve Avodah Zarah, and even though a large amount of them do, it doesn't assuage the Goyim. Because that kind of a fear is not commensurate with a reality. You see, with the reality. The source is a very deep one. And therefore, they must obliterate any cause of that fear. Even though right now it's not extant. Or they don't think it's extant. But the fear is so great that if the identity of those people is tied to that fear, then the people must be destroyed in their mind. You follow? So even though the Jews served the Avodah Zarah, and even in large numbers, but the identity of the idea of Klal Yisrael in their minds is so abhorrent and so detestable and so dangerous to their very existence that just the temporary removal of the cause will not remove that fear and will not remove the hatred, you see. And that's why it never worked that when Jews gave up their religion, that they were saved by that the Goyim made any difference to the Goyim. It didn't make any difference. Because the fact is that as long as unless even in many cases, Hitler by Machshavah and the Nazis, didn't matter what they did. But even with the church, I mean, it's only when they lost their total identity on an individual plane that they allowed those individuals to exist. But as long as the identity of Klal Yisrael remains, as long as they have the identity of Klal Yisrael, that fear is generated and cannot be assuaged. There's no mitigating element there. Because the danger is too great. It's a danger which places their whole existence and their whole life in danger. And that's why as long as you have that group that's identified as Jews, and that idea of a Jew is the one that questions or destroys their premises or brings to their mind serious doubts about their premises, so that group is intolerable. That's the answer. That's the answer. Yes.
Is
You'll see that it's a pathological condition, a pathological fear, because there's always something else that goes with it. Namely, that the Jews are exceedingly powerful and that they control the world, and powers are ascribed to them which are beyond belief. But that's all based on the nature of that kind of a fear. See, it's a kind of a fear which they themselves can't even fully realize. If something's realizable, so then you look at the thing, and when it exists, it's a problem. When it doesn't exist, not a problem. But if you can't realize it, so then it becomes something that's wrapped up with an association, and any association to it is identical with it, and therefore that fear cannot be eradicated. So that's why, even though the Jews will serve Avodah Zarah, have served Avodah Zarah, and even though they're not religious, I mean, most of the Jews today aren't religious, but anti-Semitism, as we see recently, is once again rearing its ugly head. I mean, it's again coming back. I mean, but most of the Jews are not even religious. Does not matter. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. It always goes back to one thing, to the fact that the Jews have the correct idea of God. Had the correct idea of God, and still exists among them. That is the source of hatred. That's what our mantra said. Yes. Just want to explain one point. Why is it that it doesn't help if the Jews are over the Avodah Zarah, or if they abandon their religion? The reason is because the nature of the hatred is not like a usual system of causation. It is a deeply rooted type of fear which cannot be mitigated by changes in the phenomenon that would seem to be the cause, because it operates in a different psychological manner. Okay, that's my point. Okay. Yes. The reason why it's a pathological state of mind where the person attributes powers to the one that they hate that have no basis in reality. But the reason is because that fear, the reason why they do that is because they sense in themselves that there is some kind of reality here which can uproot their very existence. So therefore, the idea of ascribing to them superpowers comes to their mind, because someone who can uproot your whole life and can destroy you is not just an enemy, but has a superior quality. So therefore, they project that superior quality on the Jew, because the source of the fear contains an element of great superiority. That anyone that's afraid of someone because they have a fear that their whole system could be undermined by this individual's knowledge is ascribing ipso facto a superior quality to this individual. So they can't be honest and say that the Jew is superior in knowledge. So therefore they say they control the world. They have a mass conspiracy. But the source of projecting the power onto the Jew, the source lies in the nature of the fear. You see, the nature of the fear ties itself to that idea. Lends itself to that idea. Okay, do you follow? Okay, yes.
Theoretically, I know it's irrational is when...
No, it's it's irrational because you aren't facing the reality of the problem. If you really believe that there's some kind of a truth here that's endangering your whole life and you faced it, so then there wouldn't be any reason for any hatred. On the contrary, you'd either face it and see that your life is worthless and you change, or else you'd say they're wrong. But it's not a realistic kind of a thing. It's a fear where the mind doesn't want to go there. If the mind doesn't want to go there, so it sets up a certain reaction in order to protect itself. And that reaction in order to protect itself is that they must destroy the Jew. But the proof that underneath it all they do sense that there's some reality here, and that's really what disturbs them, is the fact that they ascribe this great power to the Jew. Why describe this great? Where does that come from? To ascribe such great power to Jews? You don't ascribe the great power to people that you hate in general. So the answer is because it stems from an idea that is tied to a great power. Because it stems from an idea that these people have some kind of a thing that can destroy us. So then they don't want to translate it into real terms because then they'd have to face it and see, is it right or is it wrong? If it's right, so then we have to abandon our nonsense and embrace the others. Or if they think it's wrong, so there's no problem there. But they can't face it. They sense that there's something there, and therefore they have to react to it in a way to protect themselves, and they have to protect themselves by destroying the existence of the people that carry this idea. And they think that by doing that, they will simply solve their problem, you see. But at the same time, there's a sense of superiority because it does stem from a certain superiority in truth, which they're avoiding, and they translate into a kind of superiority of conspiracy, ability to have to create conspiracies, things like that. You see, they translate into different terms. But that's what the Ramban, that's the idea of Ramban. Okay, yes. Most people aren't worried about ideas. What they're worried about, ideas only confront them when there are people that live these ideas, because they're on a low level. A true philosopher doesn't care about people, just cares about ideas. But these aren't true philosophers, they're just people that when they see others that have an opinion, which is dangerous, they feel obliterating the people will obliterate the opinion. So, and then they don't have to deal with it anymore, because they don't have to face it. Because that the method is to try to remove it so they don't have to deal with this problem, which is confronting them. But that's what the Ramban is saying. That's why it does not help when the Jews abandon Yahadus. Okay. Yes. The true idea of Malachskan and Kaddish is that we have an obligation to bring the correct idea of God to the entire world. I mean, that's our obligation. That's right. But it is true that we are the people that are able to be the vehicle of this. So, but if a Jew feels a sense of superiority, then he's making a mistake. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Lo v'tzid kasva." That's against kol ha'tera kola. That's gaiva. That we're against. Okay. Yes. Yes.
The other side of the question is stronger now.
We were just fortunate. We had Ovos. Yes.
The other side of the question is the why. When
there's a Chazal that says that Lasid Lovo, the Umos Olam, will see. They'll come to see the how the Jews go to the Mikdash.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
The more we're like.
See, I mean, v'rochol ameyaretz. Yeah, go. You want to? You see, v'rochol ameyaretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha means that the world is not hopeless. We don't have an idea the world is hopeless. Some people have an idea the world is only for us, and all the goyim should vanish. That's not the Torah's idea. Because otherwise it wouldn't be the Matan Torah. The whole purpose of the Torah is that the Umos Olam, the Mark of the Kabbalists and Shiv Keneged Shiv Emunas, the Umos on Chag HaSukkos. I mean, all the Nevi'im, I mean, spoke about all the nations. So Yahadus maintains that it is possible for the world, for the Goyim to recognize the truth, because they're Tzelem Elokim, they have a Tzelem Elokim. Of course, they're caught up in Atzas Yetzirah and an instinctual life to a great degree. But what the Torah says is that there's one thing that can break through the Umos Olam, and that is the model of Klal Yisrael as the perfected nation. If Klal Yisrael was a perfected nation, if Klal Yisrael enunciated Yichud Hashem and understood the idea of Yichud Hashem and understood the essence of the Torah and lived with that idea and never deviated and valued only that knowledge and lived a life of knowledge and chachma, pursuit of chachmas Hashem on all fronts and were never involved in activities which are connected to halacha like gezel and all the other halachas, then they'd have to recognize. Then they would say, this is the right way of life, because they have a tzelem elokim. So v'rochol amei oretz kishem ad Hashem nikra alecha v'yar mimecha is when Klal Yisrael lives properly, because they can, and that's really the whole v'atem tili mamlechas kanev gai kodesh means. That is the Haftacha, that if Klal Yisrael does embrace Yahadus, but not in a perfunctory or distorted manner, but in its true form, that then they would have to recognize it. Because the mind cannot deny, as bad as and as instinctual as a person is, the mind cannot deny reality. So for Klal, the difference between us and them is that for Klal Yisrael, the ideas themselves are what propels us, you see. For them, it's the ideas existing in a people. You see, that's the difference. That they, for them, the ideas are not going to move them. Ideas are not enough, and not enough for them. Klal Yisrael, the ideas from Sinai are enough, and unfortunately, may I say, they're enough, but I mean enough to maintain our existence, that the Torah is not lost. But even Klal Yisrael, you see, the difficulty of ideas having an effect on people. But for the Umos HaOlam, their chance is seeing these ideas embodied in a people, in an existing framework where, practically speaking, you see people living according to Chachma. If they see people that work a certain amount in order to make a living and not because of an insane quests, so then they see people that are devoted to Chachmas Hashem and live according to Seichel and Chachma, the world would have to say this is the correct way of life. Because they know that they know their way is wrong, and if they saw a model of that existence in a people, then they would recognize it. That's really the sort of Vatanti Ilun Malchus kind of Kodesh. That the world, the Torah doesn't give up on the world, God doesn't give up on his brios, but he created a situation where his brios can see the truth, and this is the method. The method is to see the Torah acted out properly in a group, and that group is Klal Yisrael. If that would happen, then they'd see right away that this is a different kind of a nation. If they never saw a Jew cheating on income tax, and they saw Jews doing everything al derech hayoshar. Va'atov, Vasisa Yashar Va'atov, and they lived the life of Chachma, and they enjoyed Chachmas Hashem on all levels. They say, "This is where do you find people like that? There is no nation like that. That's the essence of their religion is Chachmas Hashem, and there's no nation like that." So the system of Torah is itself. Anyone that thinks into it can see right away that the plan of the Torah is absolutely the greatest and only plan. I mean, the plan would work. It would work. People, the truth of the matter is there is a part of every individual that is sincerely looking for the truth. And as bad as a person is, he knows a person when the Varashayim Kayam Nigrash, people that are evil people aren't happy people. So they're dissatisfied, they're frustrated, and most people today are very frustrated. So they're looking, that propels them to look for something. And if they see something in front of their eyes that this is the correct way, they have to embrace it. That's really the system of it. That's Ve'atamti Yilumam Lachas Kanev Gai Kadosh. And that would, that's V'ro Kol Amai Yoros Kishemet Hashem Nikro Alecho V'yoro Mimeko. Then they would have a fear and an awe for Klal Yisrael. And that awe would lead them to recognize the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
Ready.
That's absolutely right. That's Amalek. Amalek is a nation that does not want to see that, wants to prevent that from happening. That's the sickness of Amalek. That's a special, unique kind of a nation. That they don't want to see that. That's what they don't want to see. That's their disease, you see. But that's a special kind of a disease that's allocated to Amalek. That's why Amalek is a special parasha. That's correct. Exactly. We were on the way to do that, and they were trying to stop us. Yeah, you have it right. You have it exactly right. That's Amalek is a unique phenomenon, and there is such a phenomenon. Okay. Yeah, that's Chol Hashem. That's right. Yes. The reason why the pasuk says V'yaru Mimeka, it means an awe really of God, but for the Umos HaOlam, they need people to embody it. See, they have to go through the vehicle of persons. See, because that's their nature, that they could do it if they have the people. See, v'yor mimeko is really because yor shemayim, v'yor kol g'shemar Hashem nikro alecha, v'yor mimeko is precisely that idea, that they need the vehicle of people. The idea alone is not enough. But if they see the people that embody this idea, then they can do it. That's what the pasuk says, v'yor mimeko. It's really yor Hashem, but yor Hashem via the people. via the people. They need the people as a medium. Okay. A means, yes. It is, even philosophers talk about this. Plato talks about this. Plato says that good people at first are moved by individuals. And then if they raise themselves to a higher level, then they get into the arena of ideas, the sphere of ideas. But that's a very, very few, you know, make it up to that level. I mean, most people remain, and that's why I have Chil Hashem, because most people identify with people. If the people fail, they don't say the ideas are correct. So most people can't get above that level. And the Amei Aretz, we're all called Amei Aretz, it means that is the plan, I mean, that's God's plan, that the people should see, the people of the world should see this nation embodying the true ideas, the true Derech HaChaim, and then they will admit, because they have a Tzelem Elokim also. They're also looking for the truth. They're looking for the truth, even though they're distorted, even though they're over the Varazara, but a part of them is still a Tzelem Elokim, is searching for the truth. And if it's presented to them in a proper way, they will see it.
Yeah, but the Jew,
okay. I would say like this. I would say that the Jew, the nucleus of Yahadus, doesn't need it. The Talmidei Chachamim. Because the Talmidei Chachamim really are the individuals in the center of the circle of all of Klal Yisrael that are moved by ideas. But you see, for other people, the people outside that small sphere, I mean, they're moved by people also. I mean, it's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Is Uvo Sidbak. Uvo Sidbak. The Gemara asks, what do you mean Uvo Sidbak? V'chiyash l'adam l'davik b'shchina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eish ochloho. But no, you should emotionally tie yourself to Talmidei Chachamim. And so you see that even in Klal Yisrael, that idea exists. So you can't expect the Umos HaOlam to be on a level where they just hear ideas. They're going to jump because of ideas. They're going to be searching for ideas. The ideas are here. Why don't they find them? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Gemara does say that. The Gemara says that a person called Alomei Torah Befnei Amoretz Ki'ilu Baal Arusasa Befanav. That an Amoretz, who is a person, the term Amoretz has different meanings in the Gemara, different types of Amoretz. It means an Amoretz that hates Torah. It hates a certain type of level of Amoretz where they don't like intellectuality. They don't like Chachmas HaTorah. So that person, they see red when they see a Talmud Chacham sitting and learning. And the Gemara says, and their hatred to the Talmud Chacham is even greater than anti-Semitism. That's what the Gemara says. It's even greater than the sin of the Goyim to Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they're closer and they have a closer sense of the danger. You see, because to them, the Talmud Chacham represents a bittle of their whole existence. And they're closer to the system, so they feel it even greater. That's what the Gemara says, even greater than the Goyim to the Jews. But that's true. It's the same kind of a sickness. It's saying Sonei Asachachamim. That's right. Sonei Asachachamim is something that the Navi talks about. It's a phenomenon to be Sonei Asachachamim. Even see it in the world. People that hate intellectuals always hate Jews. So there's a hatred for the intellectual.
They use the Jew as, in fact, people who hate intellectuals, they always use the Jew as.
That's correct. And in the secular world, it trickles down to a phenomenon today that I would call genius bashing. There's a phenomenon today of genius bashing. You know, the genius, take a genius and you deride him, destroy him. He was stupid this way. It's a phenomenon that exists in today's world, that people can't tolerate the genius. And the reason why they can't tolerate him is because they sense that there's something going on there, and that this person's in a different world. After all, if you take the word insight, that a genius, what is a genius? A genius is a person that has insight. You know, how many people in their life have insight? I mean, the word, I'd say like the Rambam, the word only has the word insight for a common person, and insight for a genius, the only thing it has in common is the word itself. I mean, nothing more, a little more than that. So people, the Hamonam, dislike individuals that are privy to a different world of ideas and have insights on a relatively common basis, where in their whole lives they don't have a single insight. I mean, it's something which is annoying to them. So, I mean, that's an offshoot of this type of a thing also. And you see it's very prevalent in our society. In our society today, that's a common thing. The you know, genius bashing, that this genius was a fool and that genius was a fool. They try to find weaknesses in the genius because it disturbs them. The idea of such an individual disturbs them because they can't partake of the sphere and the of function that this individual lives in. So it's disturbing to them. It's a similar kind of a thing. But anyways, okay, yeah. But that's why that's so Moas. Moaseh HaChochma, the Navi talks about it. There's a phenomenon that Yadis recognizes, Moaseh HaChochma. People that just despise Chochma. No, there's no, everything is simple, you don't need Chochma, you follow the simple way, and all this Chochma is really a waste of time, and there's no need to get involved in all these intricacies and these theories and these... Just follow the simpleton's way of life. That's an attempt to say that you can do away with all Chochma. I mean, that's basically the attitude of the... that's pretty much the attitude of American society today. I mean, that's what they look for. But Yehadus has termed, created a term for that phenomenon, because Yehadus, which is the Das HaEmes, recognizes that this is a phenomenon. And it's an untrue phenomenon, and it's a disease of the mind. I mean, it's not true, and it's something which is a falsehood that leads people away from the truth. But that's an attitude in our society today. That definitely is an attitude like that. Moaseh HaChochma. Yeah, that's an intellectual. How we define an intellectual is a person that appreciates insight. As I said, not necessarily his own insight. It could be other people's insight as well. I mean. It doesn't have to be his own. If he appreciates another, if he really appreciates Chachma, so then it shouldn't make any difference whether it's somebody else's or whether it's his own. He'll embrace it and have a love for it, just like Emel Chachma Chosia, whether it's his or whether it's somebody else's. He recognizes and he appreciates the greatness of the insight. That's a true intellectual. Okay? Okay. Then he says, Zedava Baroki al Hagulo Haside Yaftiach. He says, that the Torah, when it's speaking about these things, where it says that Ki Yodin Ad Hashem Amov, and he'll avenge Klal Yisrael, and he says that never happened before. So he says, this is definitely loss of love. Definitely will happen. He says, in this Shira, it doesn't say Tnai of Tshuva. Before it says, you'll return to God, you'll do Tshuva in the Torah. But over here, it doesn't make any conditions. Raki shtar edus shenasa haros v'nuchal. V'shu yisbarach yasabanu b'tochachos chema avalo yash b'zichreinu. He says, so this is a different kind of a haftacha. In other words, previously in Dvarim, you have haftacha, v'shafto adar Hashem alekecha v'shamata b'kolo, that Jews will do tshuva, lasid lavo, and like the Rambam says, he quotes the psukim, miyad hein negolam. But the Ramban says, that haftacha is a different kind of haftacha. There's a haftacha which necessarily will happen, and then there's a haftacha which will not necessarily happen, but it's a contingent haftacha, which means that there are patterns of the ashgacha that exist, but the individual has to avail himself of those patterns. But it doesn't mean that it will necessarily happen. So many haftachas, like the Avos, why was Yaakov Avinu afraid? I had the haftachos, because the haftacha was just a line of ashgacha that exists. But he didn't know. Maybe he didn't avail himself of it. Maybe he didn't avail himself of that Ashgacha. The Ashgacha is ready and waiting, but it depends if the person hooks into the Ashgacha. If he doesn't hook into the Ashgacha, it's not going to work. So the Ramban says, before this, the Torah only tells you that you can't, that there are trends of Ashgacha in existence. But it doesn't say that, it's not a prediction. Not a prediction. Haftacha is not necessarily a prediction. But over here, the Ramban says, this is a prediction. That's what the Ramban means. Ramban means over here it's not tali b'tshuva, it's a prediction that it will happen. So that means that tshuva will take place, that God is telling us with his foreknowledge that this will take place, and like the Ramban says, asidin Yisrael lasas tshuva. That's what the Ramban is saying. It's a different kind of avtacha. Okay. But now he says like this. He says, in kein ashira zos avtacha mevueres b'geulo asido al karchan shel minim. The chen is kir b'sifri. Okay, then he goes on. And then he says, that this gedola shira zush yesh bo achshav, yesh bo l'sha'ovar, yesh bo l'asid lovo, it means this shira goes back to the beginning. What exactly it means, it doesn't explain. It just quotes the chazal. V'yesh bo l'am hazav, yesh bo l'am abo, All the future events. And if it's very short in words, he says, he says, even though it's small in words, but it explains many inyanim. Okay. But then he concludes. He says, if this shir was written by a fortune teller, he says, Shehigim Mereshis Achris, Kain Hoya Royal Lahamin Bom Nations Kaimu Cold Varvat Hainalo Nafal Dover Echad. He said, so that we'd have to admit that it's true because it happened, everything was fulfilled. Vafki Anachnu Namin and Atsapa Bachol Lev, Ledivre Olekin, Mipina Vio Hanemon Bachol Beso, Ashelo Hoya Lafon of Achra Kamo Olavashol. Okay, so certainly we have to accept the Vogos. Everything happened. Okay. So that's what the Ramban is saying the Shira Sazinu is. But I have one question on that. It sounds very nice. It says everything happened, and it's true. And even in Umos Olam, they have a recognition of that. There's one psychologist wrote a book. He says, no one raises this question. He says, how could it be that Moses wrote so many years ago exactly what's going to happen? They should be dispersed. And that's exactly what happened. He says, you got to admit this is something that's not found anywhere. So he says, I don't know why nobody asked the question. But the reason why nobody asked the question is because nobody wants to hear the question. And the reason why he wrote the question was because he had an opportunity. She answered that he thought it was true. So it's not a question that people are going to raise unless they can refute it or think they can refute it. So that's the reason. But at any rate, what the Ramban says is definitely true, that people perceive that it is true, even though they may not want to admit to it consciously, but on some level people do sense that. Even Goyim occasionally hears say things like that. But my question is this. That's all very nice. It's very good. It's true. Person that says, Chalesh, this is impossible. Must be Dvarsha. Okay. But my question is, if that's the case, and that's the whole essence of this Shira, what do you need the Shira for? You have the Tochacha. I mean, all the thing that's all before the Shira doesn't say anything new that you don't find anywhere else. I mean, it summarizes. It tells you, all the things that happened in the past, and Binu, Shnos, Dovador, and Rashi says, take a look at this and that. Learn through the Mefarshim, straight through the whole Shira. All the Shira does, basically, is review, point out things that happen in the Torah, that the Torah predicts and will happen, and true, happened, and did happen, and will happen, that's true. But those predictions are found in other places in the Torah. I mean, the Tochacha, I would say, is the best Raya. Like the Ramban shows, the Ramban himself shows, that the first Tochacha is the Churban Bayis Rishon, the second Tochacha is the Churban Bayis Sheni. He says, shows exactly what happened, almost word for word. Okay? So what is special about the Shiras HaZinu, that is not found in Kala Torah Kula? In other places in the Torah. That's my question. In other words, Ramban is saying the question is, but as a matter of fact, that book that I read by that psychologist to raise the question, he didn't quote Shiras HaZinu. What he quoted was the Tochacha. He said, look at the Tochacha. He says, how could Moshe Rabbeinu say this? A man lives thousands of years ago, and he writes this down, and his people, that's exactly what happens to them. They're dispersed among the nations, and he goes through all the different things, How can anyone have such a premonition? How can anybody know such a thing in advance? He said, but he didn't point to Shiras HaZinu. He pointed to the Tochacha, because that's the obvious place. So that's my question. What does it mean, Va'onsa Ashira Zos Bohem Li'ed Kilosi Shochach Mi Pizarro? So what do you need the Shira for? The Tol Torah is Losi Shochach Mi Pizarro. We didn't lose, thanks to Hashem, we didn't lose the Tochacha and the Brachas and then the Kol HaTorah Kula, we have. So what's so special about HaZinu? What's the special emphasis on HaZinu? Okay, that's my question. Okay, that what is the essence of the Shira? What is the importance of the Shira? The Onso Hashira Zos Bohem Le'ed Kilo Si Shochach Mi Pizarav Hoyachisim Tzenoso Rose Rabos Vitzoros Va'onsa shira zos bohem le'ed. So that's really the essence of the thing. You don't. So what do you need the shira for? You have the tocha. Okay, that's my question. Okay, yes. I mean, all the Ramban is doing is capitulating the tochacha. I mean, it's a capitulation. And like the Ramban says, it's small in words. I mean, it's small in words. I mean, you have a much more extensive expression of what of what you have in Hazino. Matter of fact, Hazino is kind of cryptic. I mean, it's there, but you have to look into it, think into it a little bit. I mean, when you read the tocha, you don't have to even think. Just read the tocha, just reads by itself. All the things. Yes?
The tocha, it's like the flip side of the tocha.
His question is, you have Torah Misinai. Torah Misinai is right. And a person that learns Torah and understands Torah Misinai, there's no question about it, that he doesn't need anything else. But apparently the Torah is speaking for the general population that'll stray from the course, and they'll forget Torah to a great extent. Their attachment to Torah will be lost, and then they'll see this, and this is going to bring them back. This is going to bring up. What is the element here? What is the element here? That's the question. What's here more than you don't have in Kol HaTorah Kula? That's my simple question. Okay? Yes?
Because this is being held out.
I mean, why would it make any difference if the fact is that the Torah says if you stray, that this is going to happen, and then all those elements take place when you stray? That's, to me, that's... they can't be more powerful than that. I mean, well, what do you want? I mean, the Torah predicts exactly what's going to happen. If you do this, then this is going to happen. If you do that, then this is exactly what's going to happen, and we unfortunately went the wrong way, and exactly what the Torah tells us happened to us. So what more do you need than that? I mean, a person needs more than that, or he has a problem. You're not going to reach him. Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're right. I agree with you. V'lamdas b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam. You're right. What is the sima b'fiyam over here? The Torah emphasizes sima b'fiyam more than in other places. I mean, so the Torah should have said, by the tocha, v'sima b'fiyam. Okay? Yes. In the end, the haftach is there. See? So, but that's a good question also. Why should this be considered a shira? Why is it a shira? Okay, I mean, so you could say, it goes to the end. The end is good. Okay, but I mean, it needs a little more better explanation than that. That's, but that itself is something. So why don't you make a shira out of the tochacha and the brachas and the kolos? I mean, what is special? What is special? Va'onsa shira zos b'em le'ed. Azino Hashemayim vo'ido ochem Hashemayim v'aretz. What's special over here? That's the question. The Ramban seems to try to answer the question, but when you get finished with the Ramban, you have a big problem. The problem is, what did he say more than Kol HaTorah Kula? That's the problem. Okay, think about it. We left off last week with the problem of Shiras Azino. So, yeah, actually, there's another... I mean, the problem is to bring the problem out a little more. If Shiras Hazinu, we said, if Shiras Hazinu is simply because the predictability, the prediction of the Torah, and that we'll see that all these events occur to us, so you didn't need Shiras Hazinu. You had it already in the Tochacha. And also, another question is that if that were the case... then you wouldn't need Ki Esol Shemayim Yodi, the last part of the Shira. Because the last part of Shira is Ki Esol Shemayim Yodi V'amati Chayenoch Liolam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nishba, Im Shenosi Barak Harbi V'soches Mishpat Yodi, Oshiv Nokom Letzoroi V'l Mesanai Ashalein. So that's the Gula HaSidah. Ashi Chitzai Midom V'Charbi Tochol Bosa, Midom Chol V'Shivya Marosh Parasay. Hanin Goyim Amo, Ki Dam Avodov Yikom, the Nakam Yoshiv Litzar Vechiprat Masa Amah. That wouldn't be part of the Shira. Because that's the Avtacha Lasid Lavo. So the whole purpose of the Shira is simply that we'll see that the prediction came true, so it should stop before the Gula. Because that's the point. That Klal Yisrael should see that the Torah is under, and then the Gula happened. I mean, so why is that part of the Shira? Okay. That seems to be against the Ramban that says that the last Ramban in Hazinu, where he says that even if it were from Divrei Chozim HaKochavim, we still would have to pay attention to it. I mean, if that's the case, so it's just the prediction. So the prediction, so you have the Tocha, and you don't need the last part of the Shira. It doesn't belong there. Okay. What I'd like to do now is leave this area and take up something I said at the Bar Mitzvah 2 weeks ago. Okay, a week before last. Yeah. And that is the on Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay. So in Parshas Lech Lecha, we raised three questions. Okay. One question was the question on Rashi, because Lech Lecha me'atzchem alatzchem beis avicha, so it says ve'eschol agoy gadol. So Rashi says, "Lefisha derech goremes leshlosha devarim, mema'etes mipir rivya, mema'etes es hamamon, umema'etes es Hashem." Okay, so it reduces children, it reduces the amount of money a person can earn, and also his fame. Lekach chuskak leshlosh brachas halalu. So that's why he was given these three brachas. Shevticho al habanim, that he told him he's going to have children, va'al hamamon, va'al hashem. Harini, v'zel v'agad la shemecha. The Svar Machem is a parenthetical Rashi, Rashi Yashar. V'zel v'agad la shemecha, harini mosifos al shemecha, she'adach l'achshav shimcha Avram, mikam ve'elach Avraham. Okay, all right, we'll get back to that. So it seems that according to Rashi, so God promised them to take care of the problems of the Yotze L'Derech. All right, but the question is really, I mean, why should Avram be concerned about that? I mean, Avram was a man of the truth. And the greatest imperfection in man is his seeking money and fame. I mean, the Rambam says in the Marne Vuchim, that it's in the nature of man to try to increase his wealth and his popularity. And this is the sole reason for man's unhappiness. So these desires are really evil desires in man, to increase his wealth and to increase his name, his fame. So why should Avram need these things? I mean, the only reason a person would need it is would need money for subsistence, but we don't find that he was an ani. Torah doesn't say necessarily he was an ani. So why would this be significant, important to Avram? Why should it be his concern? All that was he needed for? Okay. Another question we asked was that what is the whole mandate of Lech Lecha? The whole mandate of Lech Lecha. I mean, it emerges suddenly as if from nowhere. Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha. What's the antecedent to this? I mean, where does this emerge from? I mean, something doesn't come out from nowhere. I mean, what's the platform on which it's the tzivui is placed? I mean, where does it come from? So, I mean, yeah, Rashi dashes me'atzcho, me'latcho, besavicho, that seems to be true, me'atzcho, me'latitain tzchar kol dibor v'dibor, but that's not the essence of the tzivui. Like Rashi says, for instance, by litain tzchar kol dibor v'dibor. So, like kachna as bincha as yechitcha as shahafta as yitzcha. So, litain schar I'll call dibur v'dibur. Okay, because every one was a different emotion that I had to break away from. So, we understand that. But that wasn't the essence of the tzivui. The essence of the tzivui was mekadoshen shemayim with the akedah. So, the essence of the tzivui and the side points of the tzivui are two different things. I mean, it's true. Lechcha me'atzcha me'latcha be'savicha. It was a great perfection in Avram to break away from his emotional ties. Okay, and Rashi says lechcha, even though it wasn't artzcha anymore, because he really lived nur kazdim, according to Rashi. Machleg is Rashi and Ramban, but according to Rashi, he lived nur kazdim. Lechcha od esrachik od me'atzcha, which means that there still was an emotional tie even in Charan. According to the Ramban, it's perfect, because according to the Ramban, Haran was the place where they lived originally, then they moved to Akazim, then they went back to Haran, so he was back in his in his place of birth and all the emotions that are attached to that. So that's true, but still, that's not the Ikar HaTzivui. The Ikar HaTzivui wasn't for that. I mean, the Ikar HaTzivui has to come from somewhere. I mean, where does the tzivui open up? Well, that was the second question we asked. And the third question we asked was that Lechecho me'atzcho me'ladcho beis avicho seems to be the whole introduction that the Torah gives us to Avram Avinu. I mean, this is where we really are introduced to Avram Avinu. I mean, not before. But it would seem that, on the contrary, that the whole greatness of Avram Avinu was what he did before. I mean, like the Rambam explains in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, how he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a period of years, 40 years, until he came to the true Hakaras Hashem, and how he influenced people and taught them the true idea of God, and refuted all the idolaters with logic and with reason, and established the foundation, the Yesodai Yesodos, in the world. I mean, on his own, with parents that were of the Avodah Zarah. And in spite of that, he went and he worshipped with them, but Daito Meshotet Belibo, I mean, he kept on thinking, and he was agitated, intellectual agitation, until he really came to the true conclusion. And this was the greatness of the man, the greatness of Avram, the one who discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Avram Avinu. And yet the Torah doesn't mention anything about that. That is a Davar Nifla. I mean, that's an astounding thing that the Torah should neglect to tell us about the true greatness of Avram. Okay. So what we said was that nevertheless, the Torah in its cryptic fashion does allow us, if we look back at the Psukim of Noach, to reconstruct somehow the origins of Avraham Avinu. If you read between the lines, so you do, a picture does emerge. And what we said was, we said it would be worthwhile to go back and to reconstruct how the Torah gives us, in the few psukim in the end of Noach, gives us the history of Avram in a hidden way, derech remez, but nevertheless it's there. Okay, the pasuk says, Vayomos horon al pnei terach aviv beretz maladato bor kasdim. So that pasuk tells us, Rashi explains that the Medrash says that this is a reference to the fact that Terach reported his son Avram and to the Melech, to Nimrod, and because of that, the Medrash says a dialogue between Avram Avinu and Nimrod. And Avram Avinu argued with Nimrod, what is it? What do you think is worthy of worship? And he showed him how everything that he thinks is worthy of worship, that if that's the case, so logically he should worship something else. And he refuted refuted him intellectually in his belief system. But Nimrod nevertheless didn't, after first he tried to engage in argument with him, but after he lost the argument, so he resorted to force. And he threw Avram Avinu into the Kivshan HaEish, and he miraculously escaped. And everybody knows the story with Haran. Said, "We'll wait and see what happens." And Haran went in, was thrown in, and then he never emerged. He died. Okay, so the pasuk teaches you over here that Avram Avinu had a strange father. I mean, Terach was a strange father. He was a father that simply wanted to destroy his own son. I mean, he was, the Rav one time mentioned, the Rav said that a person, that if there's a conflict between a father and son, if it starts from the son, so it's in the realm of the normal. But if it starts from the parent, that means it's abnormal. So it means the parent has a sick mind. So Terach was a sick kind of a father. I mean, he was not a normal father. He had his emotions were distorted. He was distorted emotionally. And then reported his own son and wanted his own son thrown to Kishon Aish. So apparently he was jealous of him because, or some kind of emotional disturbance, because Avraham Avinu was the one that was known in Ur Kasdan as a revolutionary individual, a man with new ideas, and like the Rambam describes in the Mar Nevochim, and the Ramban also repeats what the Rambam says, that they hated him there, and they looked at him as a non-religious person, an irreligious person, because he denied the religion of the state, their gods, their whole religious system. And people looked at him as an irreligious man, a revolutionary who's against the whole religion of the state, new ideas, and a strange, a very brilliant individual, but somebody that wasn't really accepted by the general population.
Really? But,
yes.
Just curious, why? Against his father.
No, he went against him. No, one second. Let me explain something to you. There's a philosophical conflict and there's a psychological conflict. Okay, Avraham Avinu was a thinker. So Avraham Avinu went against his father's opinions in religion. Philosophically went against them. But when a person wants his son destroyed because he can't refute his arguments, I mean, that's a psychological, that's in the realm of the psychological already. That's an illness of the, that's a sickness. So the philosophical argument, that's true. Avraham Avinu was the one that started the philosophical argument. But that wasn't an argument against his father. That was an argument against the ideas that, of the state, the ideas that existed in the society. So a normal father might not be happy about that, but if he sees that logically his son is irrefutable, I mean, he may not be his biggest adherent if he doesn't emotionally doesn't go along with him, even though he can't refute, but he wouldn't report him and have him killed. And that's abnormal. So the Avraham Avinu never started a conflict with his father on a psychological rebellion frame of reference. It was on a philosophical, it wasn't against his father, it was against the ideas of the society. But when his father took it to the point where he wants his son, he reports his son to the authorities, to the king, to have him killed. I mean, this is already a sick kind of an individual. This is a psychological problem. So he may not go along with him, but he doesn't want him destroyed. So that was an illness of the mind. I mean, Terach was not, as a father, Terach was not a healthy-minded individual. Okay? So therefore, you had the situation where he reported him, And Avraham escaped miraculously. But Avraham was known in Ur Kasdim, and people came to him, and even though he was not accepted by the mainstream of the society, of course, but still he had a platform. I mean, people came to hear his ideas, and people started to listen to him and started to follow him. And he was no doubt a growing danger to the state. I mean, so that when Terach reported him, the reason why Nimrod wanted him done away with was obviously because Nimrod recognized that this is not just an individual that's, you know, is saying something privately or in a small circle. But these ideas and the argument that Avraham, the fact that Avraham engaged Nimrod in intellectual debate was really to his own detriment, because that's no doubt what Nimrod wanted to see. He wanted to see his ideas, and he saw these ideas. You can't you're not going to stop him, and he couldn't stop him. And this is a big danger. He's going to overthrow the whole state. The whole religion is very strongly tied to the whole rule of a country. So therefore Nimrod decided to have him done away with. Okay. So Terach, so that was really, and then he lost. Then of course, instead of losing his son Avram, he lost Haran. He lost Haran because of that. So interesting is in the next two psukim later. It says, "Vayikach Terach as Avram beno, v'yes Lot ben Haran ben beno, v'yes Sarai kaloso eishes Avram beno." Now we have a strange thing that Terach suddenly is the one that takes his son Avram, who he reported, and he takes him, and he takes Lot, who was the son of his grandson from the deceased son that lost his life. You see. And so apparently that had some kind of he had a change of heart. He had a change of heart, Terach. After the events that took place in Ur Kasdim, he had a change of heart. Okay? And the pasuk goes on, strangely enough, it says, Vayetsu itom me'ur kasdim, lolechas atzer kanon, vayvel atchon vayishon. That's all the pasuk says. So the question is, of course, what is Vayetsu itom me'ur kasdim? First of all, it's not clear who went with who. I mean, and of course, it's not necessary, because it says, Vayikach terchas avrom b'no v'eslo ben horim ben b'no, and then it should have said, Lolechas atzer kanon, vayevol atchon vayishon shon. So vayetsu itom. So Rashi says it means vayetsu Terach v'Avram and Lot v'Sarai. The Ramban says no, the opposite. The Ramban says that it really means vayetsu itom means to say that they went with Avram, because Avram was the one that was whose etza they really followed. Because you see, they went further when they came to Haran. So Terach stayed there, and Avram went on. And Lot and Sarai went on with Avram. So the Ramban says it means, Ramban says if it would have said Lalechas Atzakanan, so you think Terach was the one was the cause of why they went. But really, Terach was the initiator, apparently. He initiated the move, or he took care of it financially, he monetarily. He financed the move. He was necessary for him he played a major role in the practicality of the move. But then the pasuk comes back and says, "Vayetsu itom," a reference to Avram also, because he was the main reason why they left, because they looked up to his advice. Okay, that's the Ramban. But what is the import of this? I mean, so what do we need this for? So apparently there's something that went on here in this move from Ur Kasdim. It was a move out of Ur Kasdim. It was a plan to leave Ur Kasdim. And it says Lalechas Atzer Kanan, they wanted to go to Kanan, but Vayavo Atchon Vayeshu Sham. So what is the implication? The implication is that it wasn't really, the destination wasn't that significant. In other words, Eretz Canaan wasn't because they had some kind of an idea about Canaan. But they wanted to leave, to remove themselves from Ur Kasdim, which was a problem for Avram Avinu, and because of all the events that occurred, so they decided they'll leave and they'll go to Canaan, apparently, to remove themselves from the country and to be in exile and safely removed from Ur Kasdim. But then when they went to Haran, apparently they saw that it wasn't necessary to go any further. And according to Ramban, it's very good because Haran was the original place, and apparently they were welcomed there, and they decided to stay there. Vayeshu Sham. So the Torah, by expressing these few facts, demands that you look beneath the surface and understand what was going on. So what was going on was that it was a relocation. It was a relocation. And what was the relocation? The relocation was that Avraham Avinu really had only one concern, and that was Avas Hashem. and to bring the idea, the true idea of God, to the world. Like the Rambam says, that was the Ohev Hashem. So to speak to people and give them the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was his whole life's work, to discuss ideas with them, to prove to them the correct idea of God, and to argue with them, debate with them, and like the Rambam says, he wrote many svarim, and he met personally with many people, and that was his whole life's engagement and work. So he moved his life's work. Terach decided to leave, and Avram decided to leave. Terach decided to leave. He had a change of heart. He lost Haran. He took the son of his deceased son, and he took Avram, and he had a change of heart, and he wanted to relocate for practical reasons. And also, apparently, he had a change. Like I said, he had a change. He felt sorry for what he did. You see, he wasn't Chozer B'tshuva, because everybody agrees that Terach was a Rasha Kol Yamav. Until even though the Pasuk says later, Va'ata Tavo Al Avasecha B'Sholom, so the Ramban mentions, Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avraham Avinu, Va'ata Tavo Al Avasecha B'Sholom, is no good about a Zohar. Why should he want to be with him? So the whole Sheikhus them is a design. So, and you see, he left him. He left him in Haran. So Rashi says, "Kosa Chazam Alamet Shasa Tshuva." So the Ramban like is veer. He says that's one possibility, or else the Ramban says the possibility was because of the schus of Beno, because he fathered Avram. But of course, the question is: I mean, why should that really be of benefit to him? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give away schar for no reason at all. And Ramban. Let's Ramban in Noach. The Lashon Rashi Lamadcha Shasa Terach Tshuva B'Shas Misa. O Shema Yesh Lo Chelak Ma'bar Shema Chazal B'Schus Beno. The absura shehu lo yodea. He didn't know this. Achin is basa b'kach. Be'eis shomalo v'ata tovo lo asecha b'shalom. So he says, if that's the case, so he didn't know about this until HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed him through Nevuah. He really didn't know where his father was standing. So that's the second shot in the Ramban. But what is the idea really that is recreated of Terach? Because there's a Rasha Kol Yamav, so why should he be Zocha in the end? I mean, Avraham Avinu apparently didn't know what his status was. Or Rashi says he did tshuva at the last moment. I mean, why should he do tshuva at the last moment? But I think this all follows naturally from the way we're understanding Terach. See, Terach originally had a psychological problem. He was jealous of Avraham. Avraham was a new religion, new ideas, and it bothered him. Was some psychological, some other psychological disturbance about his son, whatever it was. So later, when he lost Haran, he had a change of heart, but he wasn't really Chozer B'tshuva. He didn't really embrace the ideas of Avram, of his son. You see, he was still negative towards the ideas, but he was sorry the way he acted towards him as a father. That he saw was wrong. Perhaps, no doubt, the catastrophe of Haran played a role in his rethinking of what he did. After all, I mean, he wanted to destroy Avram. In the end, he destroyed the other son, the other Haran. So apparently that caused him to reflect and to reconsider and to feel guilty about the fact that as a father he didn't act properly. So then he did the other. He took them out of Orkazdim. And took them away, to save his grandson, and to save Avram, and he had change of heart. But he never really embraced the ideas, the true ideas of Avram Avinu. See, that's why Chazal say he was a Rasha Kol Yamav. Because just because a person feels sorry that he did something wrong because he feels guilty, you see, or he just did something wrong, that doesn't make him zochel chayel mabal. Like the Ramban says, another Ramban varnet says, if a person's a nice guy, he's a nice fellow, and he has good midos, and he's very nice to people, he says, with that he's not zochel chayel mabal. He says, he's a nice person. He says, but that will not help him. Because it has to be based on true ideas. And true ideas begins with the Yisori Yisoros, the idea of Hashem. If he doesn't have that foundation, so everything he does is just nonsensical. I mean, it's just nice emotions. He doesn't get any schar for that. So apparently that was the status of Terach. Good emotions. Okay, he had charata from his bad emotions. So then the Ramban is saying that either one of two things happened to him. Either because of the fact that he saw that he was wrong in terms of his feelings as a father, which was not normal and not natural, and he was choser because of that, that was a step in the right direction, of course, because he was at least aligning himself with the Derech HaTeva of Adam. That's also a measure of reality. I mean, at least he's in line with human nature. And human nature is created by Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he's closer to the Emes. He got over his insane hatred and his insane animosity towards his own son. I mean, he was able to get over it. So that put him, not didn't remove him from being a Rasha called Yomov, but it put him in a state where he's closer to reality. So then, because of that, apparently, because he overcame that, so he was able to be Choser B'tshuva. I mean, all his life he heard the ideas of Avram, and he never really paid any heed to them. But once he overcame the sick animosity and hatred, so it kept on apparently playing on his mind, these ideas. And during his lifetime, he never really, he wasn't big enough to be Chos B'Shuvah. But Besof Yamov, before his death, when he saw that his life is coming to a close, apparently he was able to re-reflect and to think over, and then he realized that his son's ideas are correct. And he was really right, and therefore he was Choser B'Tshuva, and he embraced the ideas of Avram Avinu and the correct idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he was Zocha T'Chai Olam Haba. That's Wamsha. That's Rashi's shot. The Ramban offers an alternative pshat. The alternative pshat is that he never really, even Besof Yomov, never really fully embraced the correct ideas. See, it wasn't, that's one possibility, that's a possibility, it does happen, rare, but it does happen. Because Chazal say just the opposite. The Rishoyim afilu b'pischa shel Gehenna meinu chazer b'tshuva. Even in Pesach, it doesn't make any difference, because the nature of the Rasha is he's so rooted, his emotions are so rooted in evil, nothing can uproot him. And we'll go into another fantasy. He's just the realm of fantasy is open to him, and he'll find another fantasy. In 1 minute he's going to be gone, he'll find another fantasy. So that's what Chazal say. So the Ramban, apparently the second shot is going according to that Chazal, that even if we don't say that he somehow or other the last moment was Choser B'Tshuva, but there's another way to learn pshat. That it's true he wasn't Choser B'Tshuva, but once he overcame his mental illness towards his son, you see, and his animosity, so there was an element of his soul turned somewhat towards the true ideas. You see, it wasn't a level of full conscious charata and tshuva, but it was in the realm of perhaps you might say a hiru tshuva, kind of a kind of a state of mind where a human being can't really tell whether such a person, how much energy is invested. Like the Rambam says, that the only one that's shokel the averos and the schuyos of an Adam is only the Adon called the Bar Elam. He's the only one that could do that. So sometimes you see a person, you don't know where he's holding. So that was really terach, that he was like in a state where he wasn't negative, he wasn't positive. He went to save Avraham, he had charata that he mistreated him, and he did support him. He did support him, but in a half-hearted way. So a half-hearted way, only the Odea Talumos can know what status such an individual has, because the Lev Adam is Akov Mikol Miyedainu, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could know. So Avram didn't know during his lifetime, and no doubt it bothered him that his father was in that state. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mevaser him a besura tova that he's zocher chai olam haba, that there was an element of lishma there, and it's true, wasn't overtly chozer b'tshuva, but he had hirurei tshuva, and it was on a level where he was zocher chai olam haba. So that was the Besura Tova. That's the second shot of the Ramban. That was the Besura Tova. Ata Tova Levasach Vashalom. Because Avram Avinu was concerned. It bothered him all his life about his father. And he didn't know whether he'd be Zochel Chayelam Abba or not. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the Besura Tova that Ata Tova Levasach Vashalom that he will be Zochel to Chayelam Abba. He was Zochel Chayelam Abba. So that's the second shot in the Ramban. Man says, one of two pshatim in understanding the personality of Terach, personality of Terach, an interesting personality. So, yes.
Second personality, what does it mean?
So, that's a good question. Rasha Kol Yomov means that overtly, an individual like that, you see, an individual like that does not have the... Insofar as society is concerned, insofar as Bnei Ha'odom is concerned, he has a din of a Rasha. Very good point. Because he's not Chos B'Tshuva. So if you have an individual like that in a society, where, for instance, he's Kofar Baker, and somehow or other he's nice to Lomdei Torah, you see that perhaps he changed a little bit from his previous course. Okay? He changed from his previous course. So how do you treat such an individual? You have to treat him like a Rasha. You have to be rachik from him, and he has all the dinim of a Rasha. Unless he is chozer b'tshuvah gemura, and he says that he's mischaret al masha asa, and he sees he was wrong, and it was horrible, and it was evil, and now he changed, he has a din of a Rasha. But that's klape b'nei ha'adam. That's klape b'nei ha'adam. But klape shmaya galya, that's a different kind of a thing. So klape b'nei ha'adam, Terach was a Rasha Kol Yomov, because since he embraced evil, he embraced the rishis, and he never removed himself from that position officially, openly, never really was chozer b'tshuva as a din of a Rasha. And you have to keep away from him and all the things that apply to Rasha. The mechuyav to be sono, and to relegate him to outside the sphere of the society, and treat him like a Rasha. I mean, that's a chiyuv. And but if klape shmaya galya, that we don't know. So basically, what a Rasha Kol Yomov means, insofar as Bnei Ha'odom, insofar as the Bnei Ha'odom are concerned, he was a Rasha. He was treated like a Rasha. But and those who followed Avraham had nothing to do with him, because he was a Rasha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed that in spite of the fact that that's correct, insofar as Bnei Adam, he had a din of a Rasha, but the Odea Talumos revealed that there was enough for him to be Zocher Chai Olam Haba. There was an element, some element of Hira Tshuva to be Zocher Chai Olam Haba. That's the second shot in the Ramban. That's the second Pshat Merama. So that's really the that's the personality of Terach. Yeah. So, but what did Avram do with this? You see, when Avram first went, so he went with Terach. And he went to Choron Vayesh Visham. Why? Because really Avram felt that his job is to, is Kiddush Hashem, to discuss the idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avas Hashem, and to Mefarsim Shmo Ba'olam with whomever he was able to. So, on the road, you can't do something like that. Choron was another place. It's true that he was in exile, but he was, according to the Ramban, he was really in his homeland. But even according to Rashi, I mean, he was accepted in a society in Haran. And not only that, but his own father, who previously was against him, now had a change of heart. And he was living in exile, but nevertheless in a safe place. And in a place where people who heard about him would, and who really were looking for the truth, or even just looking to see and to discuss with this interesting personality what his ideas are, they would have an opportunity to meet with him. So Choron was a place where Avram Avinu felt he had to leave Ur Kasdim. That was his first choice, but because of the danger there, he escaped miraculously. No doubt that also added to his fame, the fact that he had that miraculous escape, so people would be more interested in seeking out this person, an interesting individual, when he went against the entire country, escaped miraculously. His father was his prosecutor, now became his defender, so he was in a new society. So from there, he thought he'd be able to continue in his life's work of discussing with people ideas, and showing them that the only true idea is the correct idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and lo levado roi lavod, and to continue in his whole life's endeavor. So that was Vayavoat Choron Vayeshusham. So that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and said, no. Lech lecho me'artzecho me'maladetecho me'beis avicho. That this place is not the place that you are going to be megadel shem mekadei shem shemayim. Okay, this is not the place. It seems, according to the laws of nature, that would be the place. But now the Ashgacha steps in. The Ashgacha stepped in, and the Ashgacha said, "No, just the opposite of what you're thinking. You're thinking that on the road you won't have any chance to be influential, and you won't be Zochet Tabonim, and your prosperity will diminish, and people won't respect you." Apparently people respected him because he was prosperous also, and because of the fact that he was famous, he was world famous. So the Tzivui came and said to him, no, that's the natural law. But the Ashgacha stepped in and said, drop the natural law. Drop the natural law. Forget about what the laws, the societal laws are. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that he should leave the place where, according to logic and reason, that would be the place where he could promote Avas Hashem. And he should leave that place and travel. And travel. And in travel, a person does not succeed in any of those. He can't establish himself. He can't establish himself. So how are people going to, how many people is he going to, how many people are going to meet on the road? I mean, and he has no name, and he has no fame, he has no wealth, he has nothing, I mean, basically. He's a wanderer, a vagabond. So a vagabond's going to be influential. I mean, didn't make any sense. Tough wrong. But the Tzivui, the Nevuah, said no, on the contrary, that he should leave this place. Va'avorechecho va'gadlo shemecho ve'yei bracha. So the Hashgacha will take care of the means and the vehicle through which he could be influential. And from then on, there was a whole new course for Avram. It wasn't the course of the natural law and the course that a person would logically and rationally follow when he analyzes the natural laws of society and human nature, but it was a course that was set out for him through the Ashgacha, and through the Ashgacha alone, and he was able to drop all these other considerations. But in that tzivui of dropping all considerations, there was something else was there. Lech lecha me'atzecha me'moladetcha me'beis avicha. That he should work on his inner world of perfection and break any kind of emotional attachments that he had to any sources of security. Atzecha, moladetcha, beis avicha. And to perfect himself to the point where he is totally independent emotionally independent. And that was the tzivui, not just intellectually, but emotionally. And that was the tzivui. So the tzivui was to forget about his practical platform and just to engage in his own personal perfection. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will supply him with practical. All that he needs to continue in his activity. And that was the tzivui of Lech Lecha. But how many questions do we answer? Yeah, that's the framework of Lech Lecha, too. But why, the third question we didn't answer, why didn't the Torah really tell us about Avram Avinu and his own great personal discovery? So that we said because the Torah is not a book that gives an account of individual successes, even in the realm of perfection. That's not the purpose of the Torah. The Torah is an account of the Ashgacha. It is an account of the Ashgachas Hashem in how Kiddush Hashem takes place ba'olam, and how Kiddush Shmo HaGadol takes place in this world. And without Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu would have been a great individual, but just an individual that lived a perfect life and perfected himself and Zoche L'Chayei Olam Haba, but he would have been lost in history, gone. Nobody would know of him, and the few people that were fortunate enough to live in his time would have gained from him, and they would also be Zoche L'Chayei Olam Haba. But beyond that, nothing would have really happened. He only would have affected a small amount of Boy Olam. But because of that tzivui, where his whole life came under the Ashgachas Hashem, that was the reason why his life's work would be a permanent phenomenon in the world. And that's why, because of that, that's precisely why Avraham Avinu was, from that moment on, the Ummah Yisraelis had a shame Ummah. From the time of Avraham, like Chazal say that he minted coins. You see, the Ummah became from that moment on. And from that moment on, Eretz Yisrael came into existence. Because it was his, like Rashi says, the land was his from that moment, but Kilo Sholem Avona Mori Adhino will take time until Klal Yisrael has a right to occupy the land. But from that moment, the land was his. Kilo Chol Zarecho Atenes Kol Ratz Asayel. So the moment of the Ashgacha, the moment of the Ashgachas Hashem. Otherwise, his life's work would have been successful, but only in a small local way. But because of the tzivui of Ashgachas Hashem to Avram, it became a permanent phenomenon in the world. Avram Avinu is chativa achas ba'olam. He became a permanent phenomenon. And that's only because of Ashgachas, because of Lech Lecha. That's why the Torah introduces us to Avram only there. Because otherwise he would have been a great man. But the Torah is not the story about great individuals. Not the story about great individuals. Yeah, the Torah, in the process of recounting the Ashgacha, the Torah comes across great, we come across the greatest individuals. But it's not the objective of the Torah to tell us stories about great individuals. That's not the purpose of the Torah. Otherwise, we'd know a lot more about, for instance, Chanoch. We don't know. They were individual. Shame. How much do you know about shame? I mean, very little. He was no doubt the greatest person as an individual. Beis Midrash Shal Shem Vever. What do we know about Shem Vever? Nothing. Very little. A few Midrashim. But Avram is world renowned. Avram is the Mogen Avram. B'chochosman. He's an omud of the of Yediyas Hashem. So yeah, Amud Shalolam. That's right. It's Amud Shalolam. But who made him Amud Shalolam? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Through Lech Lecha. Before Lech Lecha, he was not Amud Shalolam. He was a great yachid, very great yachid. But there were many great Yechidim, other great Yechidim. No doubt there were other great Yechidim besides Shem Vever. And they had a whole base Medrash of Shem Vever. There were people there. So Ram says there were hundreds, thousands. So what do we know about those people? Nothing. Because they were great and there was Zochat Chayolam Abba, without a doubt. But it was an individual story, you see. But Amudo Shel Olam is the pillar of Yediyas Hashem. Was Avram Avinu Chativa Achas Ba'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him into Chativa Achas Ba'olam, was only because of Lech Lecha Me'artzcha Me'ladetcha. If the Torah would have given an account of Avram Avinu's personal greatness, you have a total misconception of what the Torah is. You think it's accounts of great people. That's, other people write books like that. That's not the Torah. The Torah is Hashgachas Hashem. And that's why it left the ideas of the greatness of Avram to Torah Shebal Peh. To Torah Shebal Peh. It's important to know, but it's Torah Shebal Peh, not Torah Shebachsav. Because Torah Shebachsav is only Ashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it begins from Lech Lecha Me'atzcha Me'alavcha Beis Avicha. Because without that Ashgacha, he would remain the great Yachid. But only through the Ashgacha was he the first step in a long process of the Amma Nivchar and then the Bris Ben Absarim, Vavodum V'inu Osam, Geyezachah Baras Lolohem, Vavodum V'inu Osam, Arba Meos Shana, Vachrechen Yetzim B'chush Gadol, and Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah. That was only because of Lech Lecha Me'atzcha. So that's where the Torah introduces us to Avram. We shouldn't lose focus on what the essence of the Torah is about. Okay? All right. Yes? It's obvious. Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kiel Olam. They don't even want that. Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem. It's obvious. Interesting is that, it's an interesting point, it's just a side point, but you see, Vayivin Shem is Bechlet Hashem, and Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kiel Olam. So that was the essence of what the Torah describes. It does not say anything about Kabbonis on the Mizbech. All those Mizbechos does not say. As a matter of fact, Rashi says he wasn't marked any Kabbonis. Ramban says he was. But from the Unkelah says no, but Salishon. So, and Rashi says by Bilam, he says, Va'al par va'al b'mizbech, shiva par. So Rashi says, because Bilam Rashi said that Avram Avinu wasn't makriv anything. He wasn't makriv even par echad. And the only thing that was makriv was the aisle. So apparently he built these, it would appear that he built these mizbechos. And why did he build mizbechos? Because they used to be makriv to Avodah Zarah. So he built a mizbeach, and the mizbeach was lo levado roi lachriv. He's the one that we should be makrif to. But he wasn't actually makrif. So apparently what he showed was not only Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, but what he said was he taught the people they're not even roy. They're not even roy to be makrif l'faraf. So the Mizbeach was really, the whole Mizbeach was, he built a Mizbeach, and what was the statement of the Mizbeach? Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. That was the statement. Lo levadoi roi lahakriv. Lo levadoi roi lavoi. But apparently, what he taught the people was that they're not even roi to do it. It was the ideas. The emphasis was to first have a correct idea of Yedias Hashem. First have a correct idea of Yedias Hashem. Vayikrashon from Hashem and Hashem. Built him his beach, but Vayikrashon from Hashem and Hashem kelola. So that was Avraham Avinu. So now what I'd like to do is return to our question with regard to Shiras Hazino. Yes. No, it's not a strange mix because you see that what we fail to understand is, and this is something which I think that Yadus tries to teach us in many, many ways, but apparently we can't absorb it. And that is that Shleimus Ha'odom, perfection of man, is a multi-layered, you might say, almost infinite kind of a project, which means that it's not simply he's a good guy or he's a bad guy, a Rasha or a Tzaddik, but it's a very complex phenomenon, a human being. And a person has to strive slowly to raise himself slowly to higher and higher madrigos. It's not a simple thing. Because you see, kol ha'Torah kula is richuk me'avodah zarah. So what does that mean? The moment a person gets avodah zarah, he doesn't need a Torah anymore? No, because richuk me'avodah zarah in the sense of masa is either or. That's true. But in the sense of a person reaching Shleimus HaAdam and removing from his mind all the Darkei HaMachshava of Avodah Zarah, that is a long, long road. And that's why the Ramban explains in the mitzvah of Tamen Tiyem Ad Hashem Lekecha, His Halech Lefanei VeYesomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tol Avram. So, it's a tzivui, VeYesomim. So apparently, there are ties, infinite ties almost, that a person has to his teva and to his nature that he has to break. And the mechitzos that stand between a person and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like the Ram talks about, Chazal talk about, breaking down the mechitzos. So there are different levels of mechitzos. And Shleimus Adam isn't an either or. I mean, he's a tzaddik or a rasha. I mean, that's a simple thing. It means it's a whole derech. And that's why David HaMelech was mispalel, that al yimno'eini chato'ai, from being masig the emes, and ruach nochon chadesh bekirbi, I mean a ruach nochon, v'nochal of ruach Hashem, ruach chochmo vino, it's a whole process, and in every step of the process, he's going away from the derech avodah zarah, from the instinctual, from all the ties to the instinctual, and all the instinctual ultimately leads to avodah zarah, ultimately. But the removal from it is the richuk from avodah zarah is identical with shleimus adam perfection. We'll talk about it another time. Another shiur, but I'm just mentioning just the passing. So it's halach lafanei veyesamim was a tzivui that Avraham Avinu received even after this. So apparently he didn't reach his final shleimus, as Chazal say, in Tolmila, it's halachah lefanav yesamim. So you see, even it took him 40 years lahakir es boro, Rambam says, 40 years. So you understand, it's not a simple thing. You're talking about the greatest mind, the greatest chacham, and with all the greatest amount of energy put into this work, and nevertheless, it took him 40 years. Lahakir es boro. So you understand, it doesn't mean simply that Avraham Avinu, after 40 years, believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a person that comes to shul. I mean, it's not the same kind of thing. So you see the whole, I mean, the Torah really tries to show you this in many ways through many individuals, that perfection, Shleimus Adam, is not a simple thing. There's different on all different levels and different encounters and different nisyonos and different yetzaharas and different instinctual forces. I mean, it's not a simple matter. It is a person has to hope that Hareini Yad Hashem Darkecha. A person has to hope that he's on the right derech. If he's on the right derech, b'derech shodom l'rotz alelach malichan aso. And if he's on the right derech, so things open up as he travels along the derech. But it's a big derech, long derech, endless derech. So, and even for Avraham Avinu. Even for Avraham Avinu. Until he reached the ultimate shleimus, which was by Mila. So it was a long road. So that's really what the Torah teaches. Not a simple thing. So now let's go back to the question that we had in the Shiras Hazino. So I think that the problem is that I think we made a mistake in understanding the Rambans. Which Ramban really reveals? Ramban talks a lot about the Shiras Hazino, but he doesn't really openly reveal what the idea of the Shira is. But it's in there. It's in there. But I think most people go to the wrong place. And that's where we went. To the last Ramban, where he says that the predictions will come true. But that's true what he's saying. See, if you notice in that last Ramban, he says, he quotes Chazal, that there are many things here. He quotes a Chazal there, which is against the simple pshat that you're seeking, and the fact that the predictions came true, because in that very same Ramban, he says, "V'chein iskiru b'sifri gedol shirazu sheyesh ba achshav v'yesh ba l'sheovar v'yesh ba lasid lovo v'yesh ba b'olamazeh v'yesh ba l'mabo." I mean, okay, what is the lazer ramaz akasev shomer yom moshe dabes kol divrei hashirazos bazneam hiskir kol. Okay. Vim ktana hi bedibor ki biolam in yoneho harabim. Okay. So what I'd like to do is just to try to open up what the idea is. If you take a look at the Shira, I think there are a few crucial points. The beginning of the Shira is Chazde Hashem Elamo. Okay? Yeah. Chazde Hashem Elamo. And ki chelak ad Hashem amo, and we'll come back to ki chelak ad Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachaloso, and then it goes to the chesed Hashem, yimtzei beretz midbar, yisov veni von neyu, tzrena kishaneinu, kinesh yoyorik, you know, goes lovi rachev, yifas knof vikacheyu, yisei lev raso, all the chasdei Hashem in taking us out of Mitzrayim and leading us to Maimon HaSinai and to Eretz Yisrael, all things. Hashem bodad yan chenu ve'ini mo'el necho. Yaki ve'el bo maseiros continues. Then there's a turn. Vayishman yishman vayivot is a turn. Yizbuchu l'ashedim lo aloha. Elim lo yedom. Then tzu yilot chateshi v'atishkach kel mo'chol lecho. And vayar Hashem vayinotz mikas bonav v'nosov. Is a change. Is a change first in the Am, in us, and then you see the change in Ashgachas Hashem. Vayomer Astirofonai Mehem. Ere Moach Risom. What is Astirofonai Mehem? That's a removal of the Ashgacha. Ramban says. I mean, that's simple. You don't need the Ramban, but the Ramban says it. It's removal of the Ashgacha. Hester Ponim. Okay, that's the Hester Ponim. And Kido Tapucho Seima Bonum La Emon Bom. Banu Eimon Bum, Ramban says an interesting thing. Banu Eimon Bum, he says, Banu Eimon Bum, Omein Umagadl, Vamaskil Yovin. What does Ramban mean? Ramban means they don't have any leader, you see. They don't have any leader. Which means to say that Vamaskil Yovin means it's not happenstance they don't have any leader. They can't have any leader. if the leader is a political figure, because that's an impossibility. That's an impossibility. In other words, the astira fanei mehem means that the moment the ashgacha is removed, they're gone, basically. There's no hope. And then the next point is, the next pivotal point is, then it says all the tzaras that will occur, that's all the telcha, and then it turns again. Lule kas oyev ogur, pen yinakru tzaremo. Pen yomer adena romo, Allah Hashem polkos us. And that's the Ramban. On lule kas oyev ashbisa me'enu zichram, and that's the Ramban. We went through the Ramban last year, but it's kedai to go through it again, where he says that Tomo, he says, now vine yomar kosov, ki hoya b'midas adin li yoseinu kem b'golos la'olam. That really we should have always remained in the Golos. Lule kas oye, v'yoreze ki b'golosenu ata tomos chusavos, v'ein lanu hatzolo miyad amim rak bavur shimo ha-godli yisbarach. Kinyin shoma b'yecheskel, v'kibatz yischem en arotzos v'fotzosim bom, v'nikdashti bochem le'enei ha-goyim v'yidatam kinyin Hashem, basos yischem l'man shmi, lo kidarcheichem oroyim, u'kalu lo sechem ha-neshchosos beis Yisrael. V'chein emar od, v'as l'man shmi, levilti hochel le'enei ha-goyim. Okay. So the Ramban goes on. So that is a turn again. Lule kas, that because of kiddush mo hagadol, that the geula will take place. You see, and then, correct? Yeah. And then. The next change, the culmination is ki esol shemayim yodi, and the avtocha, like the Ramban says, the avtocha, he says, v'yehine ein b'shira zos tonight b'tshuva vod, the rak yishtar edus, shenase haros v'nuchal, v'shehu yizbarach yase banu b'tochochos chema, avalo yashbis zichreinu. V'yoshuv yisnachem v'yifram en oivim b'char bar kosher agdol v'chazok, v'yichapo chatasin l'man shema. In Cain, Hashira Zos Avtocha Mavu Eres Begula Asida Al Korchon Shamim. Okay. So, what are the elements, how do the elements line up? What's the idea that underlies these elements? Yeah, there's another point. I should have mentioned one more. Ruata. Yeah, I was missing one point. After Lule Kas Oyev Ogur, which is another turning point, then you have Ki Yodid and Hashem Amo and Re'u Ato. It concludes Ki Yodid and Hashem Amo V'Lavodav Yisnechem Ki Re'e Kozal Seyed V'Efasot Zav Ozov. V'Efasot Zav Ozov means, like the Ramban says, that they can't succeed. They can't succeed. And then it says Re'u Ato. After they can't succeed, that's where the Pasuk says Re'u Ato. Now see Ki Ani Ani Hu. That's the conclusion of that. And then, again, that's the Gula Asida, you see. But what is the underlying idea? The underlying idea is that Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Shmo HaGadol, can never take place naturally, according to the natural law. You see? That's the underlying idea. And that's the idea from Lech Lecha. See, by Lech Lecha is, Lech Lecha only says that because of the Ashgacha, Klal Yisrael came into existence, and Avram became a Chativa Achas, and an Omud Ba'olam Yediyas Hashem, you see. But the Shira says that it is impossible without the Ashgacha. It's an interesting Ramban. See, the real Ramban that tells you the key idea of the Shira is not that last piece in the Ramban. That's everybody's attracted to that because it's something that naturally is people are interested in, you know, prediction. But the real Ramban that gives you the underlying idea of the Shira is the Ramban I mentioned on Lule Kasa Yevagor. Because Ramban says over there like this. He says like this. He says, Aval Hashem bora sa'odam betachtonim sheyakir es boro v'yod elishmo. He says, that's the purpose of man. To be makir God and to be moda to his existence and give praise to his existence. V'som arshis b'yod elahora olahitiv. He says, V'chasher chotu britzonom v'kofru bo kulom lo nisha raka amaze lishmo. Upirsein bohem ha'osos v'amofsim kiyu ha'elokei Elohim v'adoni adonim. V'noda bazel l'chol l'chol amim. This was known to the entire world. V'hine im yoshu v'yovad zichrom, if their memory of Klal Yisrael would be lost, yishkechu ha'amim esel sosov es maso v'lo yisupar adlehem. So then the whole world will forget about Maaseh Hashem. I'll think it was something that occurred in the past and had no kiyum. And the whole purpose of human existence, the purpose of the bria, will be bottled. There wouldn't be left anyone that's makir the bari olam. Valkain roy midin ha-ratzon shehoya bebriyas ha-olam sheyehi ratzon melefon of lahakim lo la'am kol hayomim. That Klal Yisrael should be a nation all the days, ki heim akrov melov ayodim osam mikol ha-amim. Because they're the ones that are closest and that know God better than any other nation. V'zeh tam ki yodin ar Hashem amo v'alavodav yisnecham sheyizkar Hashem v'rachmim ki heim amo me'oz. Kadosh Baruch Hu will remember the Midas Rachman that they were his original nation. The Yizkar came avodav shamdalo begalusam kavodim lisbol atzaras vashibud. Ukeim yin shenema vayama ach ami hemav. Vanu lo yishakeru. Ukvaramasti bebriyas ha'odom sod nisgov inelam. Ramban says, and I already told you in Briyas Olam a sod as nisgov inelam. What he means here? No one says. I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it's a reference to the Ramban in the beginning of Bereshis, where he says that the sheishes you made Bereshis reflect 1,000 years. Each 1,000 years, he has a cheshma of each 1,000 years is a day. And he ties each day of the Bria to 1,000 years of human existence from Bereshis. I think that's what he's referring to. Tzorach mimenu, and that's why he says tzorach mimenu, it's tied to the Bria. Tzorach mimenu, what is necessarily concluded from this, sheni'alo la'am v'hu yi'alonu le'lo'kim, kinyin shenem kol anikra v'shmi v'lechvodi barasif. This Ramban is the Ramban that reveals what the idea of the Shira is. The idea of the Shira is that not only did it occur through Ashgachas Hashem Lech Lecha, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu made Avraham Avinu Chativ Achas Ba'olam and the progenitor of Klal Yisrael and Matan Torah and the Am HaNivchar, but it's impossible otherwise. It would never take place otherwise. You see, and where do you see that in the Shira? Astira Fanei Mehem Era Ma'achrisam, which means to say, if the Ashgacha is removed, we can't exist. I saw people say that if Eretz Yisrael existed in 1938, it wouldn't have had the Holocaust. This kind of thinking is Keneged HaTorah. Once it's Astira Fonai Mehem, once the Ashgacha is removed, nothing, no political action or political phenomenon can save us. That's what Ramban says, Maskil Yovin. What he means is that because of our nature and because we are the Am Hashem, there cannot be any omein omegadol, any political figure or leader that can address the problems that we have, because our problems are from Matan Torah. And the problems that we have cannot be addressed politically. It's not possible. Now, if you understand, I mean, there's many things, many things go into that. Why? I mean, I can't go into that. I'm not going to go into that right now. But a whole definition, a very definition, is itself something which is beyond understanding what our definition is, and therefore Once it's austere fun of him, then we have nothing. We have nothing that can save us. But lule kas oyev ogor means it's built into the ashgacha that the whole, and that's why the shira really starts off and it's a chesed Hashem, because every one of those things was necessary in order to create the ama nifchar and chesed Hashem to amo. And then the astira fonai mehem and kichelak ad Hashem amo. Kichelak Hashem amo, Rashi says. Kichelak ad Hashem amo. So Rashi says that he says, Lama kolzos lefishaya chelko kovosh peineim v'osid lotzes. Umihu chelko amo. Umihu amo, Yaakov chevel nachaloso. Okay? So, and what is Yaakov chevel nachaloso? Vu ashlishi ba'avos ha'meshulosh begimel zechuyos. Zechus avi aviv, uzchus aviv, uzchuso, re gimel. Kechevel azeh, shuwasi begimel gedilim. So, it goes back to Avram Avinu. To the Avos. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Chevel nachaloso. So it means to say that means from Lech Lecha, from Lech Lecha. It means from that point on, every step, the Hashgacha, the steps of the Hashgacha were necessary, and it could not have happened without that. Without that, it could never have occurred. So that's what the Rambam means. The Sod Gadol, Keneged Sheshmei Breishis. It means that's the Sod HaBriah. It's built into the Briah. That's what the Rambam says. Built into the Briah. It's impossible to have the Briah otherwise. So that is Kisful Lechem Es Hashira Zos V'Lamdo Es B'nei Yisrael. Sima B'fihem is because this Shira is an aid B'nei Yisrael. What is Shira an aid B'nei Yisrael? Because what is the Shira? One of the turning points of the Shira is Re'u Ata. That's before the Gula Sida. Re'u Ata means now see. It means that Klal Yisrael one day, this V'Ansar Shira Zos Lehem L'Aid, which will mean that they'll understand this idea. They'll understand this idea. They'll understand that it never could have occurred naturally, politically, or through any other means, Kiddush Hashem, and there would be, and if it were not for the Ashgacha, there wouldn't be anyone that's Makir Bara. And the only reason we are fortunate to have people that are Makir Baram is only because of the design of the Ashgacha. The one who engineered the Ashgacha, the Borei Olam. That's Re'u Ata. And why does the Shira continue beyond? It's not the predictions, so you have the Tocha. Why is it a Shira altogether? Because there are two Shiras in the Torah. The Shira of Oz Yashir and the Shira of Azinu. What is the Shira of Azinu? The Shira of Azinu is the Shira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insofar as he is the one who engineered the whole Ashgacha in order that there should be a Makir Bara. That's the Shira. So there are really two Shiras in the Torah. One is the Shira of Oz Yashir. What's the Shira of Oz Yashir? The Shira of Oz Yashir is a Shira of Hashem ki go'o go'o. Sus ferocho haram al-yam. Geyos Hashem. Yediyas Hashem and Geyos Hashem. That he's above. He's above any kind of earthly power, force that we know. Geus delay, that he's the only one that has that we can attribute the true idea of Geus. Hashem, 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 go only him. That's Geus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one Shira. But then there's another Shira, insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered the Ashgacha every step of the way. And without that, there would never be a Kiyum of Kiddush Shema HaGadol. And that's why the Shira ends. That's why the Shira goes beyond. If the Shira were just the Tocha, Tocha had before. The Shira really is the Shira of Ashgacha. So it must continue and culminate in the ultimate revelation of Kiddush Shema HaGadol, which is Hanina Goyim Amo Kidam Avod of Yikom. Is Hanina Goyim that the whole world will recognize through Ashgachas Hashem. Through the fact that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mekadosh Shmo by being Osa Din with the Rishoyim and Kidam Avod of Yikom, the Nokom Yashiv Letzarov, the Chibrad Masa Amo. So the Shira of Hazinu is the Shira of Ashgachas Hashem, who implemented every step from the first moment of Lech Lecha, from the first moment of the Avos, through Yetzias Mitzrayim, through the beyond the Hester Ponim, and ultimately the Gula Asido because of Kiddush Margo. That's the Shira. It's the Shira of the Ashkach. That's the Shira. It's interesting that the Rambam learns out the Lichtov Sefer Torah from here. Kisul Lechemes Hashira Azos, because this is what underlies Kol HaTorah Kula. What underlines Kol HaTorah Kula? Yeshira Sazim. That's the key to the Shira. Okay. So. In other words, the Jew is an enigma that defies definition. What do you mean by a Jew? How do you define a Jew? That's why even Albert Einstein was a very smart man. When they asked him what a Jew is, so he said let me put it this way. He says, the world seems to know what it is because they hate us. Let me say that's what I mean by a Jew, that which the world recognizes. Because you cannot define it. There is no intrinsic definition, political definition. Of course, the true definition is the Am Hashem. But the worldly definition, there is no legitimate definition. And because there is no legitimate definition, that's why there is no legitimate political position. You see? Because the world says, why do we deserve Eretz Yisrael? There's no real logical answer to that. Why? Because you have people that went through the Holocaust, that people suffer, so give them means they're entitled to land. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. So that's what the Ramban means, a maskal yavim. It means that bonim lo einlin bom. It means that there can't be any omein or megadol. There can't be any, because there's no reality to it. Once it's vayishman yeshurun vayivot, once you have that, now you're trying to exist in a different sphere, in a normal, natural, political sphere. There's no one. There's no one that can help you, because there's no legitimate position. There's no legitimate position. And there's no reason to have a Klal Yisrael. There's no reason to have such an identity. It does not make any sense. The world, it's true that the world voted in the existence of Eretz Yisrael, but I'd ask you, does it make any sense? I mean, it does, there's no sense to it. There's no sense. I mean, we're thankful that the Ashgacha allowed to take place, but to say that that it makes sense politically, it doesn't make any sense. So as a political entity, there's no rational defense. There's no rational defense for it, and the whole identity is questionable. What is this identity? To who are you giving land? What is the identity? Define it. It defies definition. Okay? Yeah, man has Bechira, and God doesn't interfere with man's Bechira. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't create a base where man can exercise his Bechira. Apparently, were it not for that, the man's ability to exercise Bechira would never come into play. I mean, never come into play. That's why without Torah, there are really very, very few people have Bechira without Torah. Because if you can't get started and you're rooted in the instinctual, everything you're doing is not a matter of will or decision. It's just a matter of a natural result from the instinctual forces that are in conflict, and the conflict resolves itself. But it's not really a decision. It's not a logical decision, not an intellectual decision. So without any knowledge at all, you have no bechira, you have no decision. You have no decision-making process. The decision-making process presupposes a level of yediyah and knowledge. So the Bechira Anushis exists in potential in Adam until Adam reaches a certain level where it becomes actualized. You have to actualize the Bechira. And if it weren't for Hashgachas Hashem, that's what the Ramban is saying over there. That if it weren't for Hashgachas Hashem, the whole purpose of the existence of Adam Ba'olam would have no foundation. It would be purposeless. Because man would not be able to exercise his Bechira, and his Yedias Hashem would be nil, and his Bechira would be nil. So that's only because of the Ashgacha does it exist. Okay. That's what the Ramban says. It's the nature of Adam is such that from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Ba'olam, that it would never work out naturally. That you'd, if, for instance, if it wasn't left come out, so Avraham Avinu, that would have been, it would a moment be a moment in history, and there could have been other moments. But as an ongoing, and then there would be, then there could have been nothing. I mean, and ultimately, there could be nothing at all. So it was necessary. The Ashgacha was necessary in order to have the platform upon which the Bechira HaNushis can be exercised, and there will be those that exercise it properly and are Makir Bara. That's what it means. Okay. I just wanted to add a couple of things to what we said last time. One is that yeah, it's interesting. The Rambam in Avodas Kochavim, where he talks about Avraham Avinu.
Can you move the mic a little closer?
Oh, okay. Okay, hold on. So the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where he talks about Avraham Avinu. The Rambam says, Ben Aboim Shana Hikir Avraham Esboro. So the Ravid says, Om Avraham Yeish Agoda Ben Shelo Shana. Shinemar Ekev Ashasham Avram Bakoli Minyan Ekev. So it's 172 when he lived 175, so it means Ekev means, so it comes out when he was Makar 3. So the Kesef Mishnah says that it's not Kash on the Rambam. He says, because Shef Shalakayim Zevazeh. The Ben Shaloshonim Hoya Keshehischa Lachsho for Lashotate Bamachshafto. Lahakir Boro. That's when he began the process. He started to think when he was very young, 3 years old. Or maybe the Ram didn't hold exactly three. I mean, but it means he's very young. Because the Ram says, Vahu Kotten, he says, Kinshin Shinigal Asin Zeh, Hishkil Lashote Pedaita Vahu Kotten. Yeah, the hischel lachshav v'yom v'layla v'yatmiya, and he asks a question about the laws of nature. Okay, then he says v'lo yom alamed v'lo modiya dov alamushka v'urkazdim bein of the kachavim atipshim v'avivim v'cholam of the kachavim v'u over imoyim v'liba meshotet u'mevin ashe hisig derech ames v'even kavat tzedek mitfunasa anachana. He understood the truth from his great clear mind. The Yoda Sheyeshom Elaka Echod, Vumanaga Gilgo, Vu Barako, Vain Bakolanim Saloka Chutzmimenu, the Yoda Shekololim Toim. Yes, so it's mashma like the Kesef Mishnah says, that it was a long process. That was a long process. He started when he was very young, how old? Maybe three, very young, whatever. But the Ram just says cotton. So he was very young and he started to think. And then he realized that the Avdu Kachavim are all mistaken in their ideas and in their notions. And then it says, Uben Abon Shon Hikar Avraham Esboro. So it's mashma like the Kesef Mishnah that it was a long process, and the process was concluded when he was 40. But it's an interesting thing. It says, Kivan Shehikir V'yoda Hischil Lohoshiv Chivos Al B'nei Ur Kazdim V'larach Dinim Mohem. The Lomar Shain Zu Derach Ames Shatem Holchamo. The Shiber at Slumen, the Hischil Adia Laom Shain Roy Lavod Ella Lo Kaha Olam. The Lo Roy Lishtachvos Lahakrib. Okay. So it's an interesting thing though. The Rambam says he went to battle with the people in Ur Kasdim, and he debated with them, but apparently that didn't start until he was 40. It's an interesting thing in the Rambam. So apparently the Ram is saying that until he finished the process, he didn't engage in debate. It's an interesting thing.
Knowing that they were wrong was not good enough.
Having more knowledge than they did and knowing that they were wrong was not enough. Was not enough. Which means that even though he had more knowledge than they did for a long time, But until he concluded the process fully, which took till he was ben aboyim, to really understand correctly, have corrected Diyas Hashem in all its levels, on all its levels, he didn't debate with him. It's an interesting thing. So apparently a person should not engage in debate on a subject until he has mastered the subject, until he fully comprehends it. It's an interesting, very interesting realm. But why I mentioned Rambam was for another reason. Because the Rambam says that there were two times that he engaged in debate with people and tried to teach them the truth. Once was in Ur Kasdan. That was over there. Kivin Shikiv Yad Hischol Oshav Chuvas Al Bnei Ur Kasdan Larav Dini Moam. Okay. So that was the first time. And then he says, then Kivish Govalim Brayosa, Bikishimach Lahorgo, he went to Choran. The Yetzal Choran. The Hischalamo Vilikro Bekol Gudl, Lachola Olam, Lodiim, Sheyeshom, Eloka, Echod, Lachola Olam, Velo Roy Laavod. Okay. And then he goes on. And so that was the beginning. So apparently, the Rambam's saying that Choran was really a major platform, which is in line with what we said. I didn't look at the Rambam before, but it's in line with what we said, that Choran was a major place. Apparently he was cast out of Ur Kasdan, but he was a famous figure. And because he escaped miraculously, and we mentioned Terach was with him, he was a force. I mean, he was someone that was influential. He was an influential figure. So, but then the Rambam says, "Vaya mahalech v'koreya mekabei tzaam meir leir mimamlocha lamamlocha, ad sheigil eretz kenan v'ukarei shem." That was ready lech lecha me'atzcha. That was ready to tzivu Hashem. V'ukarei shem v'irasham b'shem v'Hashem keil olam. Okay. Then he says like this: V'chivin shohayu ha'am miskaptz me'lo v'sholin lo al dvor v'yamodil lechol echad ve'echad kefidato. Interesting. Modil lechol echad ve'echad. Pretty amazing. Modil lechol echad ve'echad kefidato. Kefidato. According to his, he took the time for each one according to his level. Be a big chacham, be a plain simple person. Amazing, Rama. Yeah, achi yachzul der chames. Achinis Kapsal of Alofim Uravavos, Vahim Anche Base of Rom, Vishasal Belibam Oikra Godlazer, Vichibabos Farm Vodiol Yitzchak Beno. Okay. So apparently he didn't really have major success. It's interesting, which falls in line with what we were saying, because the first time in Ur Kasdan doesn't say that he had Alofim Uravavos. He battled with them, and he defeated them intellectually. But the real success came not even in Choran. In Choran he was very famous, but that seemed to be a natural phenomenon from the fact that he escaped from Ur Kasdan. But the Alofim Uravavos was really Haim Anche Beis Avram. That was the Bracha of Avarecha Vagad L'Shemecha. That was only the Ashgacha. So it's interesting. Rambam follows along. I mean, very nicely with basically what we were saying. There's somebody. So the Rambam basically shows that the Ashgacha was the vehicle that ultimately. Then he goes on and he shows that he told Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yitzchak the Yoshev Yitzchak Malamed Amazir, the Yitzchak Adil Yaakov. The Akavin Alamad Banav Kulam, the Hivdil Levi, Umino Rosh, Voshiva, Yeshiva, Lalamed Derech Hashem, the Tzivas Banav Shalasikum Bnei Levi, Mamuna Achar Mamuna, Kadeshlo Tishka Halimot. Then it was ready to establish a system, and that was a system of the that began with the Ashgacha. And then the Rambam continues how this went on until Mitzrayim when it was almost lost. And the whole, everything that Avraham Avinu established was almost lost, almost gone, until Moshe Rabbeinu Adon Anavim, Rav Moshe Kalman Avim. Okay. So that's really the account of the Rambam. But I want to mention, Howie Bernstein mentioned something to me, and I think it's a good point, true point. And that is the bracha that we say every morning, that Atahu ad shelo nivra olam, v'atahu mi shenivra olam. And kadesh ha-shimcha makdishei shemecha, v'kadesh ha-shimcha bolamecha, uvishu oscha torum v'sagbiya kaneinu, baruch ha-makadesh marab. That really is the bracha, that the hashgachas Hashem, that we were given the hashgacha to be the ones that are the vehicle of kiddush shma gadol, should be actualized. I mean, that's the bracha. That's really the bracha. So you see, baruch hamakadosh shma rab means that's the bracha. That kiddush shma gadol is only possible through hashgacha. And we are the ones that at Sinai were given that Hashgacha, and that's our whole Hashgacha. That's the entire entity of Hashgacha Hashem Alamo. And the bracha is that we should fulfill that. It should be fulfilled. I mean, that's the bracha really states clearly, I mean, the idea that Kiddush Shema Gadol is only possible through Hashgacha. And that's the whole essence of Klal Yisrael. Okay. That's true. The Rambam says that a poor answer is... Now, the question is, why do Rambam say you shouldn't debate, even though you have more knowledge? But you're not fit to debate unless you really have mastered the subject. I mean, so it is true. The Rambam says that a poor answer, you shouldn't give people bad answers to questions they ask on the Torah. You're better off not giving any answer. Bad answer is terrible. Because what you're saying is that this is the whole thing you're depending on. Depending on this, I mean, you're giving an answer. You say you don't know, but you say this is what you're depending on. This fails, so then the whole thing falls. So the Rambam was against those philosophers that try to give, even the ones that gave philosophies that you couldn't refute, but they were poor, because they were not really built up from reality. But they worked backwards from the facts. They built a whole system. So he's against that kind of answer. Rambam's against that kind of answer. But is that the only reason? That's a good question. Is that the only reason why you shouldn't do it? Apparently, you can't... In other words, in order to... You see, the Rambam's whole... No, it's not the Rambam, it's the whole Torah, I mean... The Torah's idea is to influence people through true ideas. I mean, that's the whole concept of Kol Torah Kuvah. That's what Rambam says, where there was the yeshiva of Shem Vever. And it's called the yeshiva because it wasn't a place where they tried to influence people, a place where they learned and taught ideas. So, apparently, in the world of ideas, if you want to give somebody over the subject matter, you have to be able to give over the entire entity. The entire entity is really woven together logically, and if you don't have the entire entity, half of the entity is not is simply not right. It's not right to give over half of the entity. I would say that. Even if you weren't dishonest, and somebody asked you a question, you said, "I don't know." But if you are presenting a system, if you're the presenter of a system, so to present half a system is not correct. It's not correct because it means that there are gaps and there's a lack of knowledge. And first of all, the system has a beauty in the system in the fact that all the ideas fit together. I mean, so you really can't give over. I mean, and everybody's mind is different. So you can't give over half of a system. Half a system is not something it's something that a person can benefit from. But in terms of being a moser, presenting, being a Baal Masorah, being most of a Havero, or Laha'om, Chochma, it is not correct. It is not, you're not in that position. Because you're in a position where you have to uproot bad ideas and inculcate true ideas. But you can't do that if you don't have all the true ideas together. You can't do that. You're not in a position to do that. You're not in a position to do it. And even if you're honest, you won't be successful. You can't be successful, and it's harmful. Because in order to be a Bala Masora, I mean, to be able to give something over, the ideas have to be complete in the mind of the one who intends to give it over. And if it's not complete, if it's lacking, if there's gaps, then it is better not to make a presentation. It's better not to make a presentation. Apparently, that's what the Rambam is saying. It doesn't mean, I don't think the Rambam means you can't discuss any points, but it means to go out and present yourself as an individual that has knowledge and that is giving over knowledge. That's wrong unless you have the whole system.
I have too many teachers.
I mean, of course, it does apply Bisman as well. I mean, which means that if a person is trying to teach the method, for instance, of Tarash Bal Peh, they don't really have the method. They don't really, they haven't really mastered the method. They're not in a position to teach the method. I mean, they're not in a position to teach it. Doesn't mean they can't discuss ideas with anybody. But to teach it, the person has to have a mastery of the system. Doesn't mean there's nothing that he doesn't know. I mean, that's impossible. But there's such a thing as a mastery of the of a system. So apparently it's true Bismanazer also. The only thing is that Bismanazer, since you have Nevuah and you have Torah Misinai, so that reduces a lot the level. You don't have to be in a level of a Avraham Avinu to be a Rav. I mean, otherwise nobody could be a Rav. But because of the fact that we have the Masorah. Okay, but still the person has to know the area well. I mean, it doesn't require the intellectual capacity of an Avraham Avinu, but he still has to know the ideas properly, thoroughly, before he could teach them. I mean, that, I think, would still apply.